Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, it's Ask Me Anything episode. Is it true that millennials are going to the right? Yes, it is. We also go through the latest with Target. And what about those 10 commandments? We talk about that as well. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com and support our program, charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. All right, everybody, let's get started. Lots of questions. Happy Monday, as always. You can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Mark has a question. Charlie, did you see the recent New York Times article about millennials? I'm curious your thoughts. I think Turning Point is starting to have a making a difference. So millennials are not an exception. They've moved right. This is the New York Times piece. Over the last decade, almost every cohort of voters under 50 has shifted rightward, by Nate Cohen. So let me just start by saying this, that 11 years ago, it's easy to kind of forget this, or more specific, even 13, 15 years ago, it was forecasted that this generation, the millennials that I'm a member of, was going to be the most liberal generation in American history. That they were going to bring forth the revolution. In fact, you could go type in Obama, UW Madison, and look at the images. Young people as far as the eye can see. I mean, an absolute swarm of young people. It's literally on the steps of Madison, blanketing the entire campus. And I was told by donors, I was told by organizers, I was told by some donors, it is an impossibility to make any substantive changes, that this is the way it's going to be. Millennials, we have to deal with it. They're super left wing. In fact, when I first started Turning Point USA to try to spread conservative values and ideas, many of the Washington, D.C. snob groups said, oh, what is this Turning Point thing? It's a waste of time. This generation is not movable. I am glad that I did not listen to those people. And our team at Turning Point, we remained focused on a core objective, to pass down our values to the next generation. And then the woke stuff came in, and we kept on building, and we kept on building, and we kept on building. And the Nate Cohn article is fascinating. 15 years ago, a new generation of young voters propelled Barack Obama to a decisive victory that augured a new era of Democrat dominance. 15 years later, those once young voters aren't so young, and they aren't quite so Democrat. In the 2020 presidential election, voters who were 18 to 29 in 2008 backed Joe Biden by 55 to 43%. Exit polls show it even closer. And in fact, the last midterm shows it within 1 point. They went from a Democrat plus 35 to 40 generation to a 50-50 generation. This is a generation that was going to bring in the Cultural Revolution by almost a guarantee. And by the way, we actually saw this last fall. We wrote an article in Newsweek.com, "Do Not Believe the Hype. Young people are getting less liberal." We went through the numbers because some of the DC groups, specifically the RNC, was very mad that I was calling calling for Ronna Romney's resignation. And so the RNC was planting stories against Turning Point in the media, saying, oh, young people are super liberal. Let's blame them for all of our problems. It's like, wait a second, you don't understand the progress that we've already made. And by the way, if you are designating us with the blame of the younger generation, then you must give Turning Point the credit for any success. I don't make the rules. You know, the RNC operatives, Rana, remember Rana? She goes on to the show, well, Brian Kilmeade show or something. She says, oh, Turning Point does fine events, but have they actually moved the dial? Yeah, we actually have. It's not just us, though. Daily Wire deserves a lot of credit. Elon Musk deserves a lot of credit. Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Matt Walsh deserve a ton of credit for their work. All of this helps move the Overton window, helps move the dial. Joe Rogan deserves a lot of credit. And so we wrote about this in Newsweek. And so this is some amazing news. I hope this is just hitting home and you're internalizing it. This demographic that's supposed to be unbelievably liberal, they're supposed to be the Marxist base. Nate Cohn in the New York Times says, actually not really. A different story emerges by tracking this cohort of voters over time. Rather than a whole generation staying left-wing, they're not the same. In fact, every election cycle, they're moving further and further and further to the right. The shift to right appears largest amongst the oldest young voters, which is just going to keep on happening. You see, those pesky shackles of reality of getting married, having kids, having to pay for a mortgage, that'll humble you. That will anchor you. And it happens over a period of time. It happens gradually, then suddenly, as we continue to pour in to the next generation around core ideas, make arguments that resonate, challenge bad ideas. It says here in the New York Times piece, the shift to right for younger voters is surprising those in the Democrat establishment. They took younger voters for granted. And I fully acknowledge Generation Z is still very liberal. We have our work cut out for us. Generation Z is, you know, believes in a lot of this nonsense, so we're going to keep the pressure on. But for those of you, we are now right here at the airing of this episode. The airing of this episode is our 11-year birthday at Turning Point USA. 11 years. June 5th, 2012, Turning Point USA was started. 11 years ago, when Turning Point USA started, the generation that I told people, or I tried to convince people to invest in, that is worth betting on, was cast aside and predicted to be a 30 to 40% Marxist generation. And now it's basically 50-50. 11 years of hard work. And again, I am not taking full credit for it, but I would say, what organization other than Turning Point USA has been organizing in the trenches, focused on the education of the next generation to pass down American values, to educate on the Constitution, the promise of the American founding, and then to actually go on college campuses and challenge these ideas? And make no mistake, the woke stuff has presented an amazing opportunity to build consensus, to show the radicalism inherent in these ideas. Let me just show you an example here. Why is it that this generation is moving? Yes, the work that Turning Point is doing is important. But how about this one? We have, looking through the cut sheet here, do we have that one of the teacher, Ryan, or are we not able to upload that? I'm not sure if we're able to upload it. If it's not on there, we don't have it. Okay, well, I could recite it. There is this video of a teacher going through the details to students on how to perform anal sex. It's not an exaggeration. It's over a minute long. Yeah, that'll radicalize new parents very quickly. It'll radicalize parents that might have been raised in the Obama generation and the fervor and the promise that Obama was going to be the great leap forward of America. This is very promising news, everybody. You want to talk about people being demoralized. You know who should be demoralized? The left, who was counting on a mass monopoly of younger voters. They thought they could have a stranglehold on a generation. They thought younger voters would be as loyal voters as the black community has been to the American Democrat Party, and that has not materialized. In fact, it is moving rapidly against them every single election cycle. So this is terrific news across the board. And you look that every demographic is moving right in the last couple of years. And then, so you might be asking, well, Charlie, if every demographic is moving right, why aren't we able then to win the seats in the Senate? Why aren't we able to win the seats in the House of Representatives? Why? Because we're not actually playing the election game. This is why Turning Point Action, tpaction.com, is doing the ballot chasing operation in Wisconsin. If we actually get involved in the mechanics and the infrastructure and the machinery and the plumbing of the elections, what Nate Cohen is writing on the New York Times, which is basically a fire alarm newsletter, is what he says here, subscriber-only newsletter, is that the country is tilting center-right amongst every single demographic. The country is tilting in the center-right direction in every conceivable way. He said, look, it's not necessarily a stunning finding. Political folklore has long held that voters become more conservative as they get older, but it's nonetheless at odds with a wave of recent reports or studies suggesting otherwise. The Financial Times, for instance, wrote that, quote, millennials are shattering the oldest rule in politics. Not true. Democrat data firm Catalyst found that Democrats essentially lost ground amongst millennials and Generation Z last decade. These findings have sparked a new wave of speculation whether the long-awaited era of Democrat dominance might this time really be at hand. But a different story emerges by tracking those voters. The millennials of 2008 are not the same as 2016. Six additional years of even more heavily Democrat millennials becoming eligible to vote after 2008 election, canceling out the slight Republican majority. The shift to the right is real and palpable. And we got to lean in. This is so exciting, everybody. This shows that all the work that we're doing on podcasting, and those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support, for us being in the weeds, for us challenging all of this nonsense, for the 330 days of travel that I've done a year over the last 11 years, of the money we raised and the 240,000 donors that we have at Turning Point USA. That's right, 240,000 donors. And by the way, if you feel so moved, you know, give us $11 for our 11-year anniversary at tpusa.com. You'll see all of our programming there. That it's making a difference and it is paying off. And the Democrats are worried. The left is worried. They can't quite figure it out. And this gives me a lot of hope. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Let's get to another question here. Charlie, what is the latest with Target? I know that they were holding an emergency meeting. Can you help me understand? Yes, this is from Tyler from Tennessee. Let's play cut 11, please.
Target holding an emergency meeting over its controversial Pride merchandise, the damage control mode coming as it desperately tries to avoid a so-called Bud Light situation. A Target insider telling Fox News Digital, quote, we were given 36 hours, told to take all the Pride stuff and move it into a section that is a third of the size from the front of the store to the back. I think given the current situation with Bud Light, the company is terrified.
So that right there is Target holding an emergency meeting over controversial Pride merchandise to avoid a Bud Light situation. Do you see how the Pride winds are changing? People are not so enthusiastic right now about embracing this Pride stuff. People are not so zealous behind this. They're responding by saying that if you boycott Target, you're engaging in economic terrorism. Play cut 10.
When Target caves into this, then it says that the moment you threaten the employees of even a very large corporation, you get to control its policies. This is economic terrorism, literally terrorism, creating fear among the workers and forcing the corporations to sell the things you want, not sell the things you don't.
Economic terrorism. You see, this is part of their playbook. It's exactly why they have to always call you terrorist. You notice that their playbook is the same? That their reaction becomes their action. James Lindsay speaks about this beautifully. Instead of actually having a policy debate, they know they can't defend the indefensible. They know they cannot defend LGBTQI+ propaganda in Target. They know they can't defend that. They know that, especially to kids. So instead, they have to do the same thing they tried to do with January 6th. Just call you a terrorist. You see, the terrorist word carries a lot of weight. As soon as you label somebody a terrorist, you're able to use different agencies of government. You're able to surveil them, infiltrate them, lock them up in prison longer. The current playbook of the American left is do whatever it takes to be able to classify ordinary Americans as terrorists. They are scrambling. They are grasping at anything right now. And in a move of complete and exhaustive desperation, they want to call you Timothy McVeigh. Don't believe me? CBS reports that DHS warns right-wing extremist groups could target power grids within the United States. Play cut 14.
Homeland Security is warning of a potential troubling escalation in tactics from right-wing extremists. Catherine, we understand the power grid could be a target.
According to the intelligence report obtained by CBS News, these groups have developed credible and specific plans to attack the power grid since at least 2020 as a way to disrupt the country and the ability of government to operate. While the report does not suggest an imminent threat, the Homeland Security Secretary has warned lone wolf actors and small bands of extremists are among the greatest domestic threat.
Right-wing extremist groups? They never do such bulletins for the defund the police, the Antifa, or the BLM people. Instead of debating us, coming on our programs, having conversations, isn't it just easier to call your political enemies Al-Qaeda? This is why they want to have drag Floyd. They want to try to create a situation where somebody overreacts to a situation involving a drag queen or something adjacent to that. And then they're able to say, see, these people can't control themselves, even though they are largely trying to provoke it, even though they are largely trying to provoke a reaction. It doesn't matter. What does matter is how we respond to it. Constructive action. I'm writing this in my upcoming book, which is if they are not given an overreaction from our side and we keep on building and we keep on plugging along and recruiting new people, that we are going to get closer and closer to victory along the way. Calling us terrorists is not just a loaded linguistic attack. No, calling us terrorists has significant and real legislative and seriously heavy policy implications, such as I am now going to be able to lock you in prison, spy on your groups. That's what they had to do with Donald Trump. They had to use the FISA system, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Authority. Hey, everybody, making the commitment to yourself to lose weight is very hard, but doing it alone is even harder. Did you know that 95% of diets fail? The number one reason is because they lack support. I was very lucky when I started my trek towards a healthier life. I found PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. I've lost 17 pounds so far. No joke. It's a real thing. The program is legit. It's simple. They tell you when to eat, what to eat, and they have a coach. The coach is firm but fair, compassionate and caring, but she holds me accountable. She pushes me to new lifestyle changes, challenges me when I need to be challenged. Here's the thing. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition has an 85% success rate at getting the weight off. They have some pretty unique ideas, I'm not going to lie, and they've been very effective to me. So if you're looking to lose weight and make a change, which is good for your overall health, call 864-644-1900 to get started today. Go to myphdweightloss.com, make your consultation today, and take the first step to your better health. The phone number is 864-644-1900 or myphdweightloss.com. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. Sam from Minnesota has a question about 2024. Charlie, I do not understand why all these candidates are running for office. I live right near North Dakota. I know you visited there recently. Why is the governor of North Dakota running? Can you help me understand? And this is a really good question. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why Mike Pence or Governor Burgum is running. So there's a couple explanations. The first of which is they actually think they can win. I mean, that is delusional to think that Governor Burgum from North Dakota is going to become the Republican nominee. I mean, let's pretend that Trump completely stumbles. Let's pretend that, you know, Trump gets indicted and people fall support. I could list 20 other power-hungry Republicans that would have a far better chance. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Josh Hawley, that could all stand up a political operation a lot easier than Governor Burgum from North Dakota. Or Mike Pence, who, by the way, Mike Pence is welcome on this program. I think that would make some really good radio, really good podcasting. Why is Mike Pence running for the presidency? This is an open question. Now, so do they think they can win? Or is it about like, hey, this is a way to get my name out. This is a way to really feel that people are supporting me and I get to be on television. It gives me something to do. Running for president has become kind of a pastime of once we're politicians. And it doesn't stop there. Chris Christie running for the presidency? Really? The money that Steve Cohen is going to spend on Chris Christie's campaign, the money that Governor Burgum is going to spend on himself, the money that, I don't know who's supporting Mike Pence or whoever's supporting him, all of that should be used on ballot chasing and voter registration. I mean, this is a top-level circus that we are seeing unfold right now. And all eyes on Iowa. Tim Scott, $100 million is going to be spent. Now, the other explanation is they think that they're doing this because they want to try to have some sort of line in the sand that I ran against Trump and he's so terrible. It's really strange because you cannot make an argument these people want the best possible chance for us to be able to beat Joe Biden. No possible chance that they want to be able to have us have the early state infrastructure. You know, Governor Burgum from North Dakota, who I'm not a fan of, but we'll put that aside. Instead of spending 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 million of your own money, why doesn't Governor Burgum go to Wisconsin and say, I am going to invest money in Wisconsin, which is not far from North Dakota, because I believe in the great people of Wisconsin. That money would be far better spent. And I would celebrate Governor Burgum for doing that. Mike Pence, instead of running for the presidency, why don't you go raise all that money and just go spend it in Georgia? Right now. We need the money right now in Georgia. Chris Christie, go get Steve Cohen to instead go write a $100 million check so that we can win Arizona. And the answer is, they hate Donald Trump so much. It is totally personal. It is petty. It is personal that they want to do everything they can to get in the way. So let's say Donald Trump stumbles and falls, which is not going to happen. Ted Cruz has a much better chance of becoming the Republican nominee, for example, someone who's not currently running for the presidency, than every single one of these people. Governor Burgum? Most people say, who? Well, it was hilarious. I was in North Dakota at the event, as I was mentioning. I asked the crowd, I said, do you guys want Governor Burgum to run? And the place starts laughing. But, you know, it's not a good sign if you're going to run for the presidency and at a right-wing event in Bismarck, the state capital, I ask if they want your home governor to run and people start laughing. Probably not a great indicator. And then what is the constituency that Mike Pence is going after? Now, some might say, hey, he's going after the evangelical, you know, the Christian world. Yeah, that lane is getting increasingly overcrowded. And many of the Christian evangelicals are pro-Trump. And they really think they're going to beat Trump in a one-on-one or a two-on-two? It really doesn't compute. I want your theories, though, freedom@charliekirk.com. Why is it that so many people are running? Could it just be simple that they have dreamed of being president since they were a kid and this is their one shot? Yeah, that's putting their own ambitions and their own interests above that of the country. It is deeply damaging to have this many people. In fact, it plays right into the agenda of the New York Times. It plays right into the agenda of the Washington Post. to have this three-ring circus that we're about to call the Republican primary. And again, I'll just keep reiterating it. Our big news from Turning Point Action, we're deploying $5 million that we have to go out and raise in Wisconsin. By the way, any one of these plutocrats, any one of these billionaire oligarchs, and I don't say plutocrats pejoratively, if you want to spend the money and you have a lot of money, that's terrific. The best investment you can make is in early voting right now infrastructure in Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona. It's not in some vanity contest of who can finish seventh in Iowa. We are going to get steamrolled by the Democrats. And isn't that, I mean, Joe Biden can't walk without face planting. He still might beat us. By beat us, I mean that they're going to chase ballots better than us. They're going to register more voters in the middle. I really hope things start to change because we are trending in a dangerous direction right now. It is not looking good at all. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you have an old 401k with a previous employer? Do you have an old TSP, an old IRA? Make those funds work harder for you. Roll over your 401k, TSP, or IRA to a gold IRA or silver IRA with NobleGoldInvestments.com. According to Bloomberg, gold outperformed the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100 in 2022. Central banks also purchased gold at record highs in 2022 and have continued to do so every month of 2023. Gold, yet again, has proven to be the most stable hedge against any kind of economic turmoil. Noble Gold Investments has had record-breaking demand for gold and silver so far this year. Do not worry, we have enough for you. Open a qualifying gold IRA this month, and you'll get the very first 1/4 ounce gold standard bullion coin ever issued featuring King Charles III for free. Just use the promo code HEDGE. Roll over your 401k, TSP, and IRA at NobleGoldInvestments.com. Check it out right now, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, let's go to another question here. We have several. Let's go right here. Isaac, by the way, which means laughter. Isaac from California. Charlie, I love the show. I also love when you talk about the Bible. Okay, well, there you go. It's fitting. Every so often, where are you at in your journey to read the Torah? Love the show and Baruch Hashem. Okay, so Isaac is a Jewish listener. God bless you and Baruch Hashem, which means, I believe it means God bless you or God gives grace or something of the variety. What does Baruch Hashem actually mean? I think it means, basically, I thank God. It means to glory be to God or blessed be God. Yeah. So I am in the, I'm on the process. I am doing the work. I'm now on Exodus 32. I can tell you, this has been one of the more challenging projects where I am listening to the original audio of Dennis Prager's lectures of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this is not just his rational Bible. This is much harder. This is hundreds of hours of audio, first told in the original Hebrew, word by word. I'm getting so much out of it. And, you know, he spent a ton of time on the Ten Commandments, which I'm glad he did. And the more that you study the Ten Commandments, the more that I realized that this really is the operation manual for humanity. That if you just want people to live decent and ordinary and flourishing lives, follow the Ten Commandments. Now, interestingly, we call it the Ten Commandments. It's probably more than the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't mean all the laws about like oxes and, you know, what happens when someone falls into a ditch, which actually comes right after. I mean, actually, the Ten Commandments as we know it actually has several other components. I mean, for example, the commandment, which is thou shalt not covet, is also do not cover thy neighbor's wife or his slaves or his animals or anything of thy neighbor. You should also understand that, like, well, it's not just remember to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's for 6 days you should work, and then the seventh day you should rest. So it's actually a two-part commandment. Work and rest. You're commanded to work for 6 days and to rest one day, Shabbat, which means to stop. What I find so interesting about the Ten Commandments, and by the way, is the first line, I am the Lord thy God who delivered you from Egypt. I am Yahweh your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Is that a commandment or not? By the way, that sets up the entire rest of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. So every time that Jesus in the New Testament said, I am, it is a parallel back to not just Exodus 3, I think it's like Exodus 3, Moses and the burning bush, but also to here. But is that a commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. By the way, how many of you could list the Ten Commandments? That's interesting. Probably almost a fair amount of you. Most secular society can't. The second commandment is also equally as interesting. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven that is above or that is in the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Third commandment. You see, the first five commandments are all about a relationship between us and God. Remember, Christianity, which Judaism was the prerequisite to Christianity, as the monotheism, it just destroyed this idea of polytheism or polyorthodoxy, or polyoxy. Yeah, anyway. Many beliefs. You see, if you have many gods, you have many moralities. One God, one morality. Every single one of the American founding fathers was an ethical monotheist. They believed in the laws of nature and nature's God. They believed in the supreme judge of the world. God is mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. But then it makes a switch. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? That is the only ritual in the Ten Commandments. By the way, to properly remember the Sabbath, to properly remember that, it's actually a standing celebration. It's a standing cathedral in time. And Jews that honor the Sabbath literally say what's called the Kaddush, which is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is a standing remembrance that God created this place. We did not. Then, of course, honor thy mother and father, which means you could translate it to keep them, to treat them heavily, to treat them with weight, not to cast aside lightly or to curse them. Thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. You see, that's really interesting. It says that. This is wrong. I'm reading this translation. It says thou shalt not kill. It does not say that. No. It says thou shalt not murder. It's a completely different word, but it's really interesting it says that in this particular glossary. Then thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. And then these are, the next commandments are between us and our fellow man. This is the operating manual for how we're supposed to treat one another. And it's repeated in Deuteronomy. And there is actually a change in only one part of it, not a change, but an adjustment in you are... Honor the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy because you are no longer slaves like you were in Egypt. If you work nothing but 7 days, you're a slave to your work, and God does not want you to be a slave. So I'm in Exodus 32, which is the golden calf. It is infinitely interesting. I just want to encourage those of you that have not spent a significant amount of time studying and reading the scriptures. Yeah, it takes work. It absolutely does. It is not a Harry Potter novel. It is not Lord of the Rings. It's not Hunger Games where you're like, wow, this is easy. And I mean, it's enjoyable, but it is work. And as I get older, it becomes more and more clear that the beautiful things take a lot of work. Marriage, kids, it does not come easily. It's not just like getting a fast food burger. It's not like a gumball machine. No, you have to put work into it. You have to labor over it. Just does not come immediately and automatically. Okay, let's get to a final question here. Let's go to this one here. Charlie, I heard you say that Lindsey Graham was largely to blame because we didn't get a better deal. What other evidence do you have to suggest that? Love the show. Okay, this is Paul from Oklahoma. Really interesting piece of tape here. Play cut 45.
25, we're going to cap spending at a level that we cannot expand the Navy. Less money for the Marines, less money for the Army. Less ships for the Navy at a time of great conflict. Not a penny in this bill to help Ukraine defeat Putin. They're going on the offensive as I speak, and we need to send a clear message to Putin that when it comes to your invasion of Ukraine, we're going to support the Ukrainians to ensure your loss. If we don't do that, then we're going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Lindsey Graham is livid the debt deal doesn't include more money for Zelensky. Not one penny in this bill to help Ukraine defeat Putin. Hey, guess what, Lindsey Graham? Not one penny in this bill to help us secure our border. No, but Lindsey Graham and the Uniparty globalists are more fired up that our money is not going to help a foreigner than our own country being overrun. I want to encourage all of you to get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, and email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, and open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe. That's right, Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe. God bless you, and I hope to see many of you at our Young Women's Leadership Summit. That is tpusa.com, tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon, and make sure you are subscribed and support our show, charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.